fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
This morning we'll still be continuing with the faith series. Bible study is a little bit different from the normal typical Sunday, from normal typical second service. So we'll be going systematically, you know. Pastor said he wants it to be systematic. He wants it to be layer by layer, you know, line upon line and all that. So we'll just go systematically as we look at the this issue of faith. And I also want to appreciate Pastor Friday also for his labor in this faith series. I know he has labored a lot on this series, you know, trying to put some foundation. And I, as a person, have been blessed personally by his teaching in the last 2 weeks. So I'll just be adding one or two things based on our discuss in the last 2 weeks. So we're still looking at the issue of faith, and we're looking at three things this morning. We're looking at what is faith, how to build our faith, and how to stay in faith. So we just look at those things. So as I was meditating on this particular topic, you know, I must also appreciate Pastor once again. Yesterday night, you know, the issue of faith, you can come from different angles when it comes to the issue of faith. And you know, yesterday night, as I was trying to put my thoughts together, you know, he tried to give me some how to so that it can be very basic, so that everybody can actually be, you know, there's a way you can teach faith in such a way that it will still not be very basic and systematic. And you know, when he was saying those, I was just like, wow, this is very, I wouldn't have even gone that way. There's a route I would have gone. So, you know, as I was putting all those things into consideration and then meditating, one of the first things that came to my mind was that living by faith is ordained for believers. That living by faith is the way God has ordained that believers should live. As in, if there's a way that God has ordained that as believers we should live, it is by faith. I remember as a Christian, I used to ask, why do we have to believe God for things? Why can't things just, you know, I know some of you would have wondered, why can't things just be rosy? You know, everything is just at your beck. You know, many of you are like that, everything is just going, you don't even have to pray for things. Everything is just smooth. Everything is just a smooth ride. You know, that kind of life, you know. And I remember I used to really wonder that, God, why is it that things have to happen and we have to believe you, and we have to believe you for money, we have to believe you for healing, we have to believe you for, can't just things just happen, you know, and it's just happening. And you know, when I now began to hear the word of righteousness, I now began to see that without faith, you are dead. As in, what makes you living is actually faith. And when I mean living, it's not that biological life. I mean that living in the presence of God, alive in the spirit. You know, for someone to be alive in the spirit, you need faith. And when you take the faith walk out of, actually, I'm not a believer if there's no faith. No, believing is even faith. Let's say I'm a believer. Is that the central word there, the active word there is belief. So as a believer, faith is actually central to everything that we do. In fact, our receiving Jesus, it is based on faith. It is believing, you know, the gospel is preached and then you just believe that, okay, you know. So everything about our journey is about faith. Say it's about faith. And that is the way God has ordained men to live. If you don't have faith, you cannot, and you know, like Hebrews 11 said, without faith, it is actually what? Impossible to please God. So if you say, oh God, I want to love you, I want to do your will, I want to do that. If you're not a faith person, it is very difficult to do what? To please God. And so faith is very central, even in our walk with God, even unto pleasing. And that's why God, at each level, like Pastor, we always say, at each level, it's always faith and love. God takes us through different expression, you know, of faith. Of course, this morning we are looking at the basic faith, which is actually a preparatory course, you know, towards the higher expressions, you know, of faith. And so if, like Pastor said, there is no promotion by trial. If you are not solid in that basic one, when it even comes to other expressions of faith, you find out that you won't be well grounded. So God takes us through that foundational issue of believing God for things, faith, you know, and all that, as a preparation towards higher expression of faith that we need to come into eternal life. Before for us to even gain that eternal life that we are seeking, we need faith. How many of you know that we need faith? Yes, we need faith. So our whole journey towards God, it's a journey of faith. It is actually a sign of dependence on Him. As in, living by faith is a sign of what? Dependence on Him. You know, one of the things that Satan tried to do is to know, even with the temptation in the garden, one of the things he tried to do was to make man live outside God. You know, the whole issue of tempting them to decide, you will become wise, you know, and you will be like God. So that means when you be like God, you don't need God. Abi? You know, so anything that makes it look as if we don't need God is anti-faith, is anti-God. You know, man is ordained to live and depend what? On God. So all those thoughts that, oh, I don't want to, why do I have to do? All those things are anti-God, they are satanic positions. You know, man is actually, I know you have to sell it into your mind that man is actually ordained to do what? To depend, you know, on God. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, people will say, you know, I don't know, maybe you've seen people on social media saying that Nigeria, they're very religious, where everything is about God, is about God. People will pray, then the developer, they don't even need to believe God for this. And that's why their society is like that. That is why their society is what? Godless. You know, man was not made to survive and be sustained on its own. Man was made to survive and to be sustained by God. So when we are living that way, then you are living in the ordained way of living. That is the life that God has ordained for us. No, the scripture says, the just shall do what? Live. Not by any other thing, by what? By faith. That is how we live. So if you are not living by faith, you are not living. So the way we live, the way we become active, that, you know, there are so many Christians that are dormant, you know. You just imagine cells, you know, body cells. I know just some people just in dormant mode. You know, some people are just in dormant mode. Why are they in dormant mode? They are not living by faith. Each time in the presence of God. So in the presence of God, when they are looking for living people, there are people that are living by what? By faith. So we must all love the faith life. Say you must love the faith life. So tell them, say love the faith life. That is the proof that you are living. Amen. Amen. So God makes, and you know, there are so many things that, there are many things that God has made available for us, you know, as believers, things that pertains to our living here on earth, you know. And many of those things, we can't assess them just by logic or by anything. One way of assessing those things is by faith. So grace makes things available, but we access them by word, by faith. You know, it was pastor that told me yesterday that coach, I said, this is a quotable quote. Grace makes things what? Available, but faith helps us to do what? Access it. So those things are available: wealth, riches, success, healing, divine provisions. You know, what have you? There are so many things that God has made available for us, but you know, that are part of the whole package of our salvation package, you know, things that are attached, call it perks that are attached. You know, it's like if you have a position, maybe you are a CEO of a company, there are certain things that are your basic, salary. You know, that's actually the major remuneration for your work. But you know, there are other benefits that are attached, like maybe a driver, holiday, and all that. So for our salvation package, there are the core things there, which is salvation, which is an eternal life. But apart from that, there are other benefits that are attached to it. Both the benefits attached and the core reward, it takes faith to assess it. Grace makes it available. It is available. But without faith, we cannot access those things, even though we are beneficiaries of those things. But it takes grace. So it's like you have money in your account. You have 5 million. Maybe you already made an inheritance, a deposit of 5 billion naira in your account. You need a check to go and cash it out. That check is like your faith. That's what you have to present to be able to cash out that money. So no matter what, even if the money is there, if you don't go with a check, something authorizing you to cash out that thing, even though it is yours, you don't have access to it. So there are so many things that God has made available. He has made all things available for us to richly enjoy. But one way of assessing those things is by faith. Say faith. It's by faith. So we look at what is faith this morning. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. We will start from there. I know it's a verse that we are all used to. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I want to just look at it. It's a substance. So faith is a substance. It's a substance of things that you hope for, things that are not yet appear that we want. So it's something that gives us an assurance that we can actually have those things. So it is a substance. It's something tangible. Tell anybody, say faith is tangible. So it's a substance of things hoped for. And what the evidence of things that are not seen. So I want to say that faith is actually works from the unseen to seen. It makes the unseen world visible. It is used to access things that are invisible, things that are not yet made manifest. It brings them from the world of God into our own reality. So that is what faith is. Number two, faith is a supernatural high. Why did I say? Faith is the supernatural high. When you don't have faith, you don't have sight. You know, the scripture says we walk by faith and not by what sight. This sight is the physical and what we see really. So a way of when you say we walk, walk means we live, we operate, we transact, we do all we do, we communicate, our conversation should be channeled by faith and not by the obvious. So faith, I call faith the supernatural high. It brings the reality of God's world into our own reality. You know, God's reality is sometimes differs from our own reality. So faith is what transports those things that are in God's reality, in God's world, into our own reality. It makes it obvious. It makes it tangible. So I said that when there is no faith, there is no works. It works from the invisible to what? The visible. It works from the unseen what? To the seen. So you see, verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen, so the things, even the things we see now that are obvious, the physical attributes of the world, were not made of things that were what? Visible. They were made of things that were invisible. So we see that it is faith that makes the invincible world visible. So I call it the supernatural high. Say the supernatural high. So faith is the supernatural high. It works from the unseen world to the seen. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:8. So you see, Peter, you're talking about their faith in Jesus. Whom having not seen, you do what? You love. So one of the things in our journey, there is a whole lot of reality about the unseen. Say the unseen. About things that are not, one of the things that the enemy did when man fell was that he made man very, very physical. He made man to rely so much on the seen, to rely so much on their natural senses. The natural sights, the natural ears, the natural feelings, and all that. But you know, one of the things that happens when we give our life to Christ is that they begin to train us to live by faith. And for faith, it is always from the invisible to what? The visible. It's always from what? The unseen, what? To the seen. So he said, whom have you not seen? You do what? You love. So just imagine something that you have not seen. Have you seen Jesus physically? But you know, we have heard so much about it that he has generated a whole lot of faith in our hearts to love him. That is the whole essence of believing, of being what? A believer. He said, whom have you not seen you love? Though now you do not do what? See him. Yet what? Believing. Yet what? Believing. You rejoice inexpressible and what? Full of glory. Imagine people. So that is our whole essence of faith. We have a supernatural high. that makes the unseen seen and visible to us, even though to the literal world, it is not seen. That is the whole essence of faith. It makes God's word, God's reality become what? Real to us. It makes the invisible become visible. Say, receiving the hand of your faith, even the word, the salvation of our souls. So that is what faith is. It brings the invincible word to say, no, I can also, sometimes, you know, even some of us, even to work with God, we need faith. You know, some say, I'm not feeling this thing. I don't even know how I am feeling. Your work with God is not based on feeling. Amen. So sometimes, I can't feel God. It's as if everything is just dry. That doesn't mean God is not around you. That doesn't mean God's presence is not around you. Say faith. So sometimes you don't feel, sometimes you feel anointed. It's like, oh, you are like, you are seraphim, you are burning, you are everything. You're like, I know, I'm on fire. But I think everything might even look dry. You're like, where is this God now? Am I still in the faith? I don't even know what is happening to me. Our walk with God is a walk of faith. It is a walk of him, yet not, even though we have not seen him, yet what? Believing. So it is a journey of believing. Say it's a journey of believing. So we must settle that in our hearts, that faith is from the unseen to the seen, from the invincible to the, that is how God works. Tell your neighbor, say that is how God works. It works from the invincible to the visible. It allows us to come into the world of God and God. It is a vehicle through which we can journey into the world of God. You know, God has his own world and even God himself. So when there is no faith, there's no way we can journey into God. God has his own reality. You know, we have our own realities now. Our own realities, no water, no fuel, no all of these things. You see now, they've taken light. That is our own reality. But you see, in the world, God also has things. I don't mean that God has his own world and there are things real there. Faith is what makes, that substantiates the word of God in our whole world. That makes the things of God substantiated. It makes it a substance. It makes it real. So faith is the vehicle through which we journey, you know, into God's world and even God himself. Amen. Amen. Number four, faith is believing in a person and his capability. So you can't say, well, what is faith? Faith is actually you believe in a person and also what? In that person's capability. So when you say, I have faith, faith is not just an abstract thing. It's not just something that is floating. It means that it is having faith in a personality and that person's capability. So if you say, let me give you an example. Somebody says, you know, somebody says, oh, if, for example, let's look at something. Okay, if maybe you need dollars. I know dollars is very scarce now. And then the what's the name of the whatever was CBN, the governor of CBN now states that I can give you $2,000. I can make. Will you believe or not? Why do you believe? Is it in the dollars you believe in or in his person? And why do you believe in his person? Because you know that he has the capacity, that $2,000 is the person sitting on all the dollars that we have in the entire country. So you know that if he says, don't worry, next we just come to our office. I'll give you a note, you know, just go to any of the banks and tell them that you have money, just tell them that you want to withdraw this $2,000. No, you can have dollars in your account and not be able to withdraw it. Maybe you have been struggling. You've gone and said there's no dollar and you have the money in your account. You say, oh, you or where will. And then you now know CBN. You just give a note. Please kindly release $2,000 from this person's account to him. If he gives that small note, is it that small note that you believe in? It is this person. Because you believe in him, you know his position, you know what he is what capable of. So faith is not abstract. Faith is actually believing in a person and that person's what? Capability. So faith is believing in God and what God can what? That is faith. So we cannot talk about faith, about removing a person. You know, let me just say have faith. Faith is not abstract. Faith is hinged on a person and what that person can what? Can do. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God. So one of the things that faith is on is first of all coming to God. Believing in a person. Must believe that what? Must believe that he is. As in, there is faith is hinged on a person. That he must be that he is. And he is what? A rewarder. Of those who were diligent. So we see two things there. His personality and then his capability to reward, to do. That is faith. So faith is believing in a person and the person's what? Capability. So it is believing in God and we what God can what can do. If you take away that, then we cannot talk about faith. So we now look at how can we have faith. I will be looking at, like I said, faith is building, is also building a belief system in a person and the person's capability. And one way of building that belief system, central to be able to believe in a person and his capability is hearing. What did I say? In a person and his capability is what? Hearing. So let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's a scripture that we are all very familiar with. It said, so then, faith comes by what? Hearing. And doing what? Hearing by the word of God. And so we'll be looking at this one after the other. So hearing, what hearing does? Hearing builds an assurance. Why did I say? Hearing builds an assurance. And what is, and then the next thing is, what are you hearing? And we see that faith, vehicle through which faith comes is by hearing. But it is hearing by what? The word of God. And one of the things that the word of God does is that something central about the word of God is that it paints God's personality. And God's capability. So you see, in all this, I know the word of God, I know we have people of understanding, I know the word of God is more than the Bible and all that. But at the basic level, there are so many things documented in this Bible, which is God's word, about his personality and his capability. So one of the ways in which faith, our faith is built up is by hearing, by receiving things that have been documented about him and the things that he's able to do. So we must hear. Say we must hear. So when you see a believer that does not pay a lot of attention to God's word, either the written or the preached or the spoken word, that person cannot have faith. That person will be lacking in faith. One of the ways say, I don't have faith. My faith is shaking, you know, is because the word level is very small. One of the things is like a power. One of the things that generates faith in God is the word. The more we hear his word, the more faith is generated in our hearts. And you see, that is the whole essence of when people come to share testimony. You know, if you look at people, when people want to do healing, maybe healing services in some churches or in some places, you see, they ask people to come and testify. What are those people trying to come? What are they trying to do? They're trying to stir up your faith. They are trying to paint to you that this person, I believed God for this. And this is what God has done, giving you evidence of God's faithfulness. You know, that is what testimony is all about, giving you what? Evidence, you know, evidence. I know so many things are documented in this Bible that shows us evidence of things that God can do that surpasses woman's, you know, reasoning and logic. So one of the things, so the more we hear these things, so if, for example, maybe you have a particular challenge that you're battling with, maybe issues about health, you've gone to the hospital, they say there's no, you know, we believe so much in our doctors. Is it a lie? So you come, you're having something just so that when I just get to the doctor, you know that it is faith. You know that going to the hospital and the doctor prescribing for you, and then you go and buying those medications and using it. How many know that it is faith? It's some level of faith. Faith in what? You have faith in that doctor. You know that doctor has gone to school. They've taught them about sickness, about them. They taught them how to manage those things. We've heard people say, I had this thing, I go to the hospital. When you go to the hospital, you know, all those things have generated a faith in your heart. So when they say, okay, you're having this, I go and see the doctor, you go, and you sit down, the person, you have not even met the person before. You don't even know, maybe the person went to school. Maybe attended all his classes. You don't even know. You don't understand. You don't know if the person attended all his classes. That sickness that you have brought, you don't know, maybe that day they were teaching it, if that person was in class. But you know, we just have that faith. Just because it is in a person. You have that faith in a dog. It's not because you've seen that person's face before. But it is faith in a personality of a doctor. That a doctor is someone that can cure my illness. That is capable. So when you see the person, even if the person, if you are taller than the person, or maybe you are even fatter than the person, it doesn't matter. What does Buddha say? It doesn't matter. Just sit down there, and then you roll out everything that is happening to you. You don't even care. Unashamed. You don't hide anything. Although some people still hide from their doctors anyway. But you know, unashamed, just roll out everything. And you talk, you explain everything that's happening to you. And the person is doing like this. The person is writing. And the person writes and just gives you a paper, examiner, just give you a paper at the end of the day. And say, go and buy this drug. Use it for 5 days. And you take it with faith. You just believe. You go to the pharmacy and you buy the drug and you use the drug religiously, and then just with that, you're just going to get better. You know that all that transaction is what? Faith. It is because of a knowledge. You know something about a doctor. You know something about, okay, when they do this. The same, we can also transpose that into God as well. When you know him, when you understand, you have an assurance in his personality, you know his capability, then he generates what? Faith. Why did I say does what? Faith. So faith is hinged on a personality. It is hinged on a belief in God and that he is capable of doing certain things. So, and it comes by hearing. So the more we hear about God, the more we come to know God. So I tell people, the more you come to know God, the more your faith is built. What did I say? Your faith is that assurance that he's faithful, that assurance that he's capable, that assurance that he can do this, he can do that, becomes stirred up in your heart. But you know, many of us, we don't have that personal thing. So many times it's very difficult for us to rely on it. That's why, you know, so for example, if you're going to, maybe you're having an health challenge, and you know, you've even gone to the doctor, and doctor say, this thing, no, there is no cure. You know, some of us just believe. Doctor says it's that, hence it. But you know that there is a different reality in God's world about our health. And so if you want to tap into that, one of the things you have to do is to now familiarize yourself with what does God's word says about our health. Hallelujah. What is God's opinion about my health? And then you also go and check previous evidences from the scripture. People that have experienced, are there examples of people that God has shown his capability of healing? So many in the scriptures. And then you also sit down and meditate on that. You know, by doing that, what happens? Substances begin to generate in your heart to believe that I can actually be what? Healed. Your belief in him becomes stronger. And then to be able to access, because like I told you, those things are already available. But it is by faith that we can do what? Access those things. So that's why we must keep hearing. Say we must keep hearing. And you know what I found out? It's not only hearing once. He said hearing and what? Hearing. Hearing and hearing. So it is a continuous cycle. Say continuous cycle. So you can't just say, oh, today I have it, I've heard, today now I have it, and then you stop. You must keep hearing. It's a cycle. Hearing and hearing. It's like a continuous cycle. It is as that cycle keeps flowing, that our faith is what built up. And then we can assess those things that God has for us. Amen. So that's one of the ways of having faith, by hearing previous evidences, testimony, meditating on the word. You know, it's another way of hearing. It's another level of hearing. Meditating on what? The word. So, you have a particular situation. I'm having financial difficulties. As a believer, it is just wrong for you to accept what is happening. It is wrong for you to just accept what is seen. You have to go and look into God's word. What does God say about my finances? What is God's mind? What is God's mind concerning a believer, concerning this area? And then you familiarize yourself with him. That is wanting to know God's capability. What is even there for you? What are the graces that are available? You know, it's like, how much do I have in my account? You know, if you want to collect money sometimes, if you don't know how much, they buy me check, Iloni, one in no account, so that you can know how much to do what, cash, so that your check will not do what, bounce back. So you go and dig into the world to know what are the things available for me in this area. And then when you do that, you familiarize yourself. You look at previous evidences of how God has supernaturally blessed people. Those are evidences. Then after that, you now begin to meditate on that. What did I say? You begin to meditate on those things. You begin to ruminate. So in times when you are alone, you begin to think about it. You begin to consider it. You thoughtfully consider those things. Consider those things that God has said. Consider people in which God has expressed those things to. You meditate on those things. So by doing that, know what happens? Your faith begins to build up to be able to assess those things that God has made available for you. So the place of meditation, you know, many of us, we meditate on our problem. And so we meditate on it that it becomes so real. We keep meditating. If some of us, we meditate on our infirmities. I am this. I am that. I'm not a nice person. I'm not a good person. You meditate on your weakness. You don't see that which God wants to build you into. I know we can see that principle in Jacob. When Jacob was working with Laban and he wanted, you know, his brother, his uncle told him that all the ones that are speckled, though, they will be the ones that any sheep, when the sheep give back, if they are speckled, those ones will be, I think that's one will be for Jacob Abbey. The ones that are playing will be my own. That is a very difficult one. Imagine. That is a very difficult one. That is a biological, natural process that you've got no control over. That is a very difficult. Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the land, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and this shall be my wages. All the spotted ones. So imagine determining the spot of an animal. How do you want to do that? That's genetic engineering. But you know, Jacob received a wisdom from the Lord. I know what he did. When those sheep, when they are drinking, could you see how he changed something that was even genetic? So when those goats, anytime they are feeding, he puts those things respectful in front of them. Anytime they are mating, it is there. They will see it. Anytime they are even ruminating, those things that they come to for himself, rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them and exposed the white which was in the rod. So he made it striped. Verse 39. Because that was what he wanted. Verse 39. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the what? In the gutters. In the watering trough where the flocks came to drink. So that they should conceive when they came to drink. So he put it everywhere where they would drink, where they would conceive, he put it there. So that was what they were seeing. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth what? Streaked, speckled, and what? Spotted. What did he do? He put it right before them. It was always before them. No, that was how David said, I have put your word continually before me. So when you want something, maybe you are believing God for something. That's the place of meditation. It is always before you. Amen. What did I say? It's always before you as you are meditating, as you are. You know that, and we see that same principles all over the scriptures. Even the law, when God wanted the children of Israel to keep the law, you know what he said? He said they should write the laws on their doors. He said they should tie it on their garments. You know, telling you that it should be right in front of your eyes. It should be something they constantly would see.
so that it can change their reality. So it is what you focus on that will be your reality. So if your focus now is there's no light, there's no money. Today, what is the new dollar rate today? It's 1,500. That is what, that is your focus. That is everything. Today, rice is 72,000. Tomorrow again, rice is, has become 74,000. No, you know, if that is your, that is your reality. If that is your reality, that is the only thing you are meditating on. You are now thinking, okay, so my salary is 50,000 naira. Now the rice has removed. How are we going to do? Okay, maybe if we now, so what we do about rice? Okay, maybe we should change. We eat rice 4 times a week. You know, you are just, as you heard that news, that is all you are meditating on. You don't change frequency and tune into heaven and begin to consider divine provision. That God is able to supply, to meet all my needs, not according to my salary, but according to what His riches in glory. And then you set that before you. You set that becomes, you set that before you, you know, as a reality has, okay. You say, if I, sometimes I need to paste it in your room or paste it in, I'm telling you, you know, those are some of the actions, we're still going to go there. They are also actions of faith. You know, imagine Jacob just leaving it to chance. I say, God, just let it be. Hey, I just pray. Okay, according to, you know, they teach us all those things in genetics. In AS times AS, we give you how many? 50%, you know, and it begins to calculate. Okay, if we meet the probability of this one having a speckle, because the mother is a bit speckled, 25% component of speckle plus, okay, the probability maybe I can have one. If he had relied on that, he won't have what he wanted, what he desired. So you see, so putting what God says, so what meditating on the word does is that you are putting what God says constantly before you. You see in Acts chapter 3, when Peter went to that temple and they met this lame man, and the lame man actually was always begging for alms. And so all the man was looking for was money. You know, at one point, what they told him, they said, look at us. He said, look at us. What did I say? Look at us. He said, look at us. As in, put your attention on us. What are you giving your attention to? Is it the realities? What looks very tangible and real around you? You know, some of you look at your reality around you, you never marry. Because, hey, sending you 40,000, you'd be better to marry by. She said, look at us. Stop looking at all the other, you know, moms like, maybe you see people coming. His eyes were usually more on the ham. Said, look at us. So he gave them his attention. God wants you to give his word attention. Amen. That is what faith does. You have to give attention to what the word says. What is the word saying concerning this, my situation? Not what the situation is saying, but what the Lord says concerning my situation. Look at us. So he gave them his attention. In fact, he was even expecting to receive something from them. What was expecting? At least his attention was so that I could receive something. But in fact, beyond his expectation. Say beyond his expectation. So looking at them, you know, was actually staying his faith, expecting something. But you know, they even shocked him beyond his expectation. They gave him more than the hands he wanted. They gave him the healing, which was the most important thing. So I believe that in this season, one of the things we must learn to do is also to look at the Lord. Say, focus on God. Say, focus on God. Focus on what God can do. Don't focus on the realities around you. Focus on that which the Lord says in his word and on that which he can do. Amen. Amen. So say faith is putting eyes on him. All eyes on God, not on market price. What did I say? All eyes on God and not on market price. You know, it is very easy. Say today, you know, they come and say, you know, you have to just think, you come, to, you know, expenses are increasing and income is not what, you know, I don't know if you saw this cartoon that people played. They made one man that was so big, that was expenses, then they made salary as a very thin man, that, you know, and on a bicycle, you know, but what God wants us to do is to focus on him and not what? On the things around us. Because what? The worlds that we see today are framed by the unseen. So we can actually import God's reality into our current situation and circumstances. And so in famine, we can flourish. You know, the natural reality is that in famine, people diminish. But you know, for God's people, it's a different reality. That in famine, we will do what? I can't hear you. In famine, we will do what? You know, they said, you know, our fathers, they said they planted in the times of famine when the ground was dry. And they did what? They reaped several folds. Those are evidences that we have seen in past of people flourishing what? In times of famine. You know that in those times when the plague was plaguing Egypt, if there's any English like that, in Goshen, imagine the same Egypt. All those realities that was happening in Egypt, do you know that was not happening in Goshen? All the realities of flies, think about, just imagine. In this, you know, just like sometimes it is raining in Bodija, and then people in Akpata, you call them, they say it's not raining. People were going through a lot in Egypt, and yet Goshen within Egypt was spared from those things. Showing us realities of, that was God's reality. That was God's world in their whole world. So faith helps us to assess that. It helps us to bring God's realities into our whole world. It helps us to bring the invisible into the world, the visible. So faith is putting what? Our eyes on Him. Tell neighbor, say, put your eyes on God. Sincerely, if you put your eyes on the current situations, you will be depressed. You put out, you see the heat, there is no light. Then even climate is not cooperating. You don't understand. Quote, yes, you can't get quote, yes, no, Joe, see, one raw, everything is good. You know, my not really mind. You know, so, you know, advice is that everything is just against, you know. Say, put your eyes on Him. Those are some of the things we need to learn. And you see, like we said, this is not the first time our father suffered famine. Not one, not two, not three. I'm talking about our spiritual father and also our physical fathers. But you know, in the midst, but you know, I've heard testimony of people, even in the times of famine, that they have flourished. And so we must believe, those are things that we must have faith for in this season.
Jesus, Vofranida Kalishi Banahasaparana Dadia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's the time. It's a falanamo time. It's a feranamo da casta pronimenda cacho cepalanine maliasta vanamanta stabola. It's the posaphonamo time. Elimene coprosta camonta severanamo time. It's a ponia te sepatominate time. It's a time upon you. It's the time upon you. It's the time upon you. It's the season over you. Elemolo shike pani ne mahali ka poronodo chiche pronia. I want to teach you how to live in this season. I want to teach you how to live in this season. Focus on me to teach you how to live in this season and not want to pray the season away. Focus on me to teach you how to live in this season. Don't focus on praying the season away. Focus on how to live in this season. There is a way to live in this season. Alamono do chichi ferekete molomende sisiriala. Every season on earth, there is a wisdom on how to live. Nemostapania, Ali Kepania. I have the wisdom on how to live in all season. Homolopono tosisine mekaralabanashtena. No season affects my life. No season affects my life. No season on earth affects my life. Helene Mantesia, it is a call on you to learn my life. It's a call on you to run into my wisdom. It's a call on you to run into my wisdom. And I know many of you will not answer this call. That's why I permit this season. I permit this season. Because I know now you can give me your attention. Because your wisdom is filling. All your wisdom is filling. Your wisdom is already filling. And it will not work. It will not work. Come to me to teach you a wisdom that lasts all times and seasons. See you, the Lord.
Let's look at Psalm 36, verse 7. So some of the things that in this season, the season, just like the prophecy says, the season to trust in the Lord, to put our eyes on. So then, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust, what? Under the shadow of your wings. And what happens? They are what? Abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the river of what? Your pleasures. So as we, in this season, as we put our trust in the Lord, we begin to see that our economy will begin to change. We put our trust not in the things, logical things, you know, around us, realities around us, but trusting in the Lord that is able to do what? Satisfy us. And you know, satisfy us, not just satisfy us what? Abundantly. Not just how much scriptures you have to arm yourself with in this season. You say, ah, I cut it down. I cannot try it, bro. I cannot try it. Let's go try this. In famine, we can be satisfied. How many of you believe?
Amen.
And in famine, we can what? We can be satisfied. And there is a wisdom to do that. God can just give you an idea. God can give you, tell you this is what you should do. God can tell you. See, in during famine, God provided from his own prophet. He called a raven to feed. Those are things that God, you know, those are things that we must meditate on. If you keep meditating on the way things, your heart will fail. But we must be able to shift our attention and put our focus on God. Imagine God sustaining a whole nation in the wilderness where the soil cannot even plant, the soil cannot grow anything, where there is no water. God was not just one person, no, a whole nation. God sustained them by feeding them directly. Said, sometimes some say, yes, if it takes that, God can do that. You have seen him do it for children of Israel. Bread was raining down from heaven. You know, it was not a spiritual thing. How many of you know that manna was not just, you know, when we talk about it spiritual. You know, it was not spiritual. I don't understand. Just imagine it. Just try and just picture it as a movie. You know, bread in the morning. Bread. Some of the stupid things we say. That's why shaking. Yes, if it takes that. To feed the children of Israel, it took bread raining down physically. Just imagine all those 300 naira bread. Just imagine them. Just falling down. Bread, manna from heaven every day. Imagine. Every day. And it was not just for one day. Say not just for one day. For how long? 40 years. Hey! Hey! Say hey! Let's say it was one miracle by chance. This one was not one miracle by chance. It was sustained. Say sustained. I want your mind to expand. Imagine. Don't want to. Are you seeing the way I'm seeing things? For 40 years, bread, physical bread. It was not spiritual. It was not as if maybe God provided flour for them. Maybe something started growing on the ground. It was as raw as that. That literally bread was dropping down from heaven. And they were gathered, and it will fill the farm. They come and gather it in the morning. The same thing with water. The wilderness is a dry place. There is no water. And rock, say rock. You know how hard a rock is. Rock, say rock. It's not borehole.
It's not bowl, say rock. And rock was open, and water was gushing out of the rock. Very impossible, difficult situations to the logical mind. That's why if you're a logical person, if you're a very calculative person, you cannot enjoy God's grace. Because God's grace usually beats man's wisdom and imagination. So those kind of statements, don't be saying those kind of nonsense again. If it takes God to do it, God can do it. He has done it before. We have to train our life. Pastor, we have to train our mind to believe these things, to see God's capability. You know, many of us are so overwhelmed with things in the physical that we don't even know how we downplay. Let me use the Yoruba word. You know, we just belittle God. You think your situation and circumstances is bigger than God. So you don't know what I'm going through. What are you going through? So they turned a wilderness into, not one pool, into pools of water. And dry land into what? So when God does things, when God wants to shock you, he likes to shock people away. So that you can say, beyond every reasonable doubt, this is the finger of God. You know, let's say that man had dropped only one day. They would say, it was just by chance. But say 40 years. Sustained every single day. That is God for you. Say, that is God for you. That is God for you. So we must learn to put our eyes on God. Say, put your eyes on God. So we're going to look at some expressions of faith in the Bible. You know, your faith can either be weak or strong. I'm not even looking at no faith now because I don't expect any of us to be no faith. I don't expect any of us to be what? So, but we could have faith could be strong and faith could actually be what? Be weak. So we're going to look at those expressions of weak faith, expression of strong faith. Let's look at Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to what? Grace. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of what? Verse 7. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is a man that the wife was, they were all advanced in it. And God is not telling him that, he said, I've made you a father of a boy. You know, it's something that you can relate with. That's the thing that when God wants to shock you, he shocks you where? Beyond woman's logic. So that, was that not promising him a child? Was some promise that he was going to make him a father of what? Not one, you know, say one boy, was she that? Or maybe a nation. Okay. So of what? Many nations. In the presence of him whom he what? Believed. So you can see God is still about having faith in a person. Who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not what exist as what though they did. You know, after they say God works from the invisible world to the visible. He works from the non-existential to the world to the existence. That is how God works. Verse 18. See. Who contrary to hope and not being what? Weak in faith. So that means it is possible to be weak in faith. So you know he believed, you know, God gave him a promise. Okay. But you know, there is a possibility to be weak in faith. You know that your faith is not strong concerning the things that the Lord, you know, had spoken. He said, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became what? Of many nations. According to what was what? Spoken. You know, and Pastor has already taught us in the last 2 weeks that, you know, faith is not presumptions. Faith is based on what? The word. Can't just say, I have it. What is the substance? What is the word? What is God's mind? What has God spoken concerning this issue? So it was based according, that faith was what? According to what was what? Spoken. No. I'm sure that one has been said to Pastor has taught us that one last week and upper week.
must be according to what God has spoken. That is where it generates from. It must be based, it must have a base. Not just faith, I have faith. You know, some people are, and don't pass on that, it's presumption. When it is not based on anything, just say, I have faith. I know everything is well. I know everything. What is the substance of your it is well? He became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendant be, and not being weak in faith. So what does it mean to not be weak in faith? He did not what? Consider his own body. So I wrote here, what are the attributes of weak faith? When you begin to consider too much the present reality. That is a weak faith. No, God has said it. God has said that we will give birth. Yes, I know. But because, hey, but Dr. Masokwe, me man, if I look behind you. Dr. Masokwe, doctor said, I don't have an uterus. God also said, I have a low sperm count. And then you begin to ruminate on that more. You begin to consider more than that which God has said. So he said, he did not consider the realities. So when you want to know if your faith is weak, when you consider too much your present situations and realities than what God has said, then you are being what? Weak in faith. And what does it mean to consider? Can you give me the dictionary meaning of consider? So that you can know what it means to consider. What does consider mean? Toby, can you do that? What is the meaning of considering? Can somebody open the dictionary, maybe Webster or something on the phone, and let's look at what does it mean to consider? If you found it, just to think about what? You know, some of you don't have to think about carefully. You just think about it. I am 37 years old. And then you think about that age very well. 37. Then you begin to think carefully. No, did not say just think. So, you know, that's what I said. Let's ask, what does it mean to consider? It said you are thinking carefully. It's a systematic thing. Typically before making a decision. So you think carefully about it. This thing that God is saying, but the reality. Hey, I know that God has said it, but let us be realistic. Say realistic. But let us be realistic. Let us. I know it's not that I don't have faith, though. I actually have faith, though. I believe, though. I know that there is nothing God cannot do, but you know, let's get the kawa realistic. But let's just be realistic. We need you to look at it. Let's be actually realistic about all these things that we are talking about. That is not being strong in faith. He said, Abraham did not consider. Let us, what are the reality for someone that should have a child? What are the realities? Your body should be strong. There's a particular area where you are strong, where your sperm will be viable. So let us look at it. He said, not being weak. He did not consider his own body. Already what? Dead. That most likely he could no longer perform because he was already old. Because he was about 100 years old. And what? Deadness of what? Sarah's womb. Two dead. Dead. Dead Abraham. Dead Sarah. And they said, these people, they will become what? Not father of a boy, yo. Father of what? Check what to consider if it is natural, whatever. He did not consider. Not being weak in faith. That means he denied the realities around him. To focus on what God has said. Verse 20. He did not waver. So I wrote, he said, considering, we should know weak faith is those that consider too much their present reality. They believe more in the sin, in logic, in current reality than what God says. So ask yourself, what do you believe more? Is it the logic, the current realities, the current situations and circumstances, or the word of God? I wrote here, you know
all what all the world is saying, the world, W-O-R-L-D, is saying concerning an issue, but not what all the W-O-R-D is saying concerning an issue. So some of us, you know what the whole world is saying concerning about an issue. So you know that everywhere in the world now, there is what? Inflation. Oh, we know the world news, what is happening. But what do you know what all the word of God is saying today concerning our economic situations? What is God's reality for us? So when you know what all the world is saying, and you don't know what all the word is saying about an issue, then you are weak in faith. So you need to know what the word, what all, not just all the word of God is saying concerning whatever situation or circumstance that you find yourself. And then you put your faith in it. And then you allow that to determine how you do what, how you live, how you converse. Amen. The second thing, characteristic of a weak faith is that it wavers in faith. What does it mean to waver? For wavering means that you start well. You believe those. They give you the word. Say, yes, I believe it. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. God says it. That settles it. I believe it. I'm walking in faith. Then as you are journeying from, you know, that's where God is taking you. Then you get along the middle way. Then situation and circumstances becomes more boisterous. Then you say, am I sure? Am I really sure? Am I sure? I don't. This thing. Am I sure what I am saying? What I am believing? Am I really sure? That was what happened to Peter. He said, bid me come. God said, come. And he said, he walked on that word. He took a leap of faith, and he started walking. So it was that word that sustained him, that created tension on the water, and he began to walk. Then all of a sudden, he saw the wind. Then he began to look at the wind. Then what happened to him? He began to sink. You know, God said, he saw the Lord and said, God, bid me come. God said, come. And the Bible says, at the word. So he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go at the word. He said, come. And he began to walk on the word. So, you know, I remember my pastor at home, when he's preaching, he said, the word, that word, come, became a tension on the water, and he was walking on it. You know, really, I like the way he used to describe it. He said, the word turned into a tension on the water, and he stepped on it, and he was carrying it. So he was walking. He wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on the word. I can never forget. I used to like that thing. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind, so he shifted his gaze. When he saw that the wind was what? Boisterous. He was what? Afraid. And what? Beginning to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. So he was wavering. You know, along the line, when he saw realities. I don't know, that's what happened. When God gives us a word, Satan will come and test our word. He will make things more boisterous so that you can now begin to reconsider. So wavering is reconsidering. So before, you have considered God faithful. You have considered those things as nothing. But when the winds come, it makes you to begin to consider the wind. That is a wavering faith. It is still what? A weak faith. God wants to bring us to a place whereby our eyes are totally focused on Him. Even along the journey, when it becomes posture, when it becomes even, it's as if the situation is getting worse, we are still standing on faith because our eyes is still on Jesus. Said He did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. So unbelief is what makes us begin to waver. Then all of a sudden, when Peter saw, you know, Peter believed, I'm sure you have seen Jesus walk on the water. Say, hey, me too, I can go up by how far now? Say, yeah, they come now. And he was going. Then all of a sudden, he began to do, wind, Malay sink. And then fear came in. Unbelief came in. Say, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And God said, come. So that was at his word. You know, on that word, he began to act. But as he was going, he saw other realities. And as he began to consider those other realities, fear began to sink in. And as fear began to sink in, what happened? He began to sink. So fear makes us sink. And one way to overcome fear is to stand on the word, is to keep our eyes on him, is to keep our eye on that which the Lord has spoken, and not consider the things what around us. Amen. So wavering faith is also what? A weak faith. It is when we start with faith, but don't end with faith. So God wants us to receive the end of our faith. He wants us to come to the end of the faith. To reward us. Strong. Now let's look at what does it mean to be strong in faith. Pastor has taught us some of this, and Pastor Friday taught us. Part of being strong in faith is to be able, is to be desperate for God. Say desperate for God. And we see that in that woman with the issue of blood. They wanted to, you know, that Jesus could do it. You know that if, you know what said in his mind, said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. But you know, there were many situations around that would not let her touch the garment. You know, if you are, let me give you a background. If you are, if the issue may not understand, if you are passing out blood, you are passing out life. Number one, people that are losing blood, they have anemia, they are short of blood. Blood is what helps you. Their heart don't pump well. Their heart is weak. They don't have strength. For some of them, they pass out. You see them, they can just fall and faint. They can go into heart failure. They are very weak. So imagine the crowd. So that woman was already losing blood. So that means physically, she was what? Physically, she was what? But she knew that what could stop all these issues I'm having is just to touch the hem of his garment. But not to reach out to touch that hem. There were a lot of limitations. There was a, have you seen crowd before? Just imagine crowd. You know what this APC, PPP, so imagine that you want to journey from the back to go and touch, to go and see the person campaigning in front. You know, that was the crowd that was following Jesus. You know, so many crowd, people thronging on Jesus. And this woman with her weakness. In her weakness, her body was frail. She was just, if I could just. And she pressed. Say pressed. I can't even say press. She pressed. She did not consider her whole weakness. She just, if I could just, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. So there was a level of desperation, of perseverance there. So I tell people, if you are someone that you don't know how to persevere, you will be weak in faith. You cannot be strong in faith without being able to persevere. Say persevere. She was able to persevere. So she said she pressed. You know, she pressed. She pressed against that crowd. She pressed against that crowd until she was able to touch the hem of his garment. The same thing with that woman. You know, say when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. So you can see Ed. Ed will produce the faith. And then the faith makes you to take an action. So that's why faith without works is what? You still get there. So she came behind him in the crowd. So it was from behind. She pressed until she touched his garment. The same thing with that widow. So there was a judge. Said nobody can talk to this judge, and this judge will never hear. You know, they agree. You know, they listen to anybody. Said about this woman. She kept going every day. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. But this wicked, but he would not for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I did not fear God, nor regard what? Man. Verse 5. Yet because this widow troubles me, I would avenge her. Lest by what? A continual what? Coming. She does what? She wearies me. And I said, faith is what? Coming to God. So, you know, some of us don't persevere. You know, God says something, you know, just witness a little. If Satan just shallow you small, you just draw, you know, maybe you are going, you are carrying something. Say, hey, what do you carry for them? You just drop it. Say, hey, I don't carry anything. That's the way Satan used to do for many of us. You know, say, oh, I have faith for this thing. I believe God. I'm holding on to God for this thing. I'm holding on to them. One small demonic cadbury will just come. Maybe through your family member or something. Hey, 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 kill a good man. Hey, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. No perseverance. Say persevere. So part of being strong in faith is to persevere with the word. So you must be able to make warfare with prophecies, with words that have been given you. You know, they told Timothy, said we should, said by these prophecies that have been spoken. So the times that they've given you a word, God has spoken certain things concerning you. You have to make warfare with those words, with those prophecies, with words that have gone ahead, with the things, that substances that God has given you. You must persevere with them. Say, discharge, you can see, when Timothy was, when Paul was, right, he said, discharge, I commit to you. It was a charge. Was a charge. I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. And we have a more sure word of what? Prophecy. Things that are written here that God has spoken concerning us. So what he said, that made concerning you, that by them you may do what? Wage the good word warfare. So most of us don't even know how to make warfare with the word. Speak a word, and then something begins to happen. Then you just throw everything. Then just hands up and say, okay, it's okay. I surrender. There's a place of making warfare. God has given you a substance, giving you a word concerning an issue, maybe concerning your health, maybe concerning your business. And then you begin to experience some challenges. You must be able to stand on the word. You are believing God for something. Oh, I'm believing God for promotion at my place of work. Then it's that time that they are beginning to give you query. They say, hey, his query they are giving me now. His query. Yeah, God has told you in the beginning of the year that this is your year of lift. This is an open doors for you. And then they now bring query. They say, it's as if they are now going to sack me. It's as if they are going to sack me. It's as if they are going to sack me. It's as if they are going to sack me. It's as if they are going to sack me. Say, make a good warfare. You persevere in prayer. You stand on God's word. No, we must learn to do those. You cannot be claiming eternal life and not be able to do all of these things. Small sickness. If they bring, they just give you one small note. Maybe you just say, you have this thing. Just say, hey, I am finished. And let me be rounding up. God, let me be rounding up. You have to be able to do what? Wage warfare. They say, it's long life. Will thou satisfy me? You must be able to go into the world and go and break weapon of warfare against that report. So this is what God has said concerning me. You must be able to bring your strong reason. Even Jesus, God said, bring your strong reasons. And you go to God in prayer with what? Your strong reason. Or what is your strong reason? It's not your own presumption. It is what God has said. So this said, bring your strong, say, present your case, says the Lord. Bring forth what? I can't hear you. Bring forth what? Says who? You bring your strong, say, God, this is what your word says concerning this issue. God, I bring, make intercession. You persevere in the place of prayer. You don't just hands up and just give in to threats of Satan. When Satan knows he's like that, you just be, oh, mama, I beg both bars with every wind of pressure. Go to doctrine, pressure. Left, right, and said, your nose. Well, once you hear one news from mom like this, go faith here. I'm finished. God, I'm finished. Why? Why me? Why me? Why me? No faith. No grace to stand in faith and to pray and to believe God and to hold on God's promises. God did not promise us a smooth journey. The only thing he promised us was victory. So be of good cheer. That is what he did not say, that you will not see tribulation. It is part of the package. Tell anybody, say it's part of the package. But you know what God has promised us? What has he promised us? Victory. Over what? Coming. Coming over those things. And we need faith. Say, we need faith. So we must be able to persevere in prayer. We must be able to pray. You know, part of what makes you strong in faith is to be able to pray. Pray. Say, pray. Prayer of faith. Not prayer of fear. You know, there's a lot of, in all this mountain, prayer of fear. Prayer that does not have any basis. No word, no nothing. Prayer of fear. God is a very good God. Out of mercy and compassion, yes, those prayers. But God wants us to make prayers of faith. You make warfare by prophecies, by words that have been spoken ahead. Prayers of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of the high church. Those words, avail much. So I tell people that are weak in faith are people, if you cannot pray, you'll be weak in faith. Because it's like a cycle. You receive the word, it generates faith in your heart, and you use prayer to pull through. So even when you are praying, it is that word that you are, based on that assurance that you are praying. Even Jesus, your Lord, they already told him that he was going to go to the cross. By the time he was getting to Gethsemane, he was saying, Lord, if this cup can pass over me, But he went to Gethsemane to pray. He said, and after he prayed, what happened? He was strengthened. So prayer gives us what? Strength. It strengthens our faith. It strengthens our resolve. It gives us peace. You know, Philippians said, he said, with prayer and supplications. He said, be anxious for nothing. Can you give me that scripture? Say, be anxious for what? Nothing. Be anxious for, don't be anxious for economic meltdown. Don't be anxious for the way situations is in the country. Don't be anxious with whatever issue you are going, that is going on in your life. Say, for nothing. But in everything, say everything. Everything. By what? Yeah. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your word request. So don't go, no, there's not even only one. It's plenty. You have plenty requests. Be what? Made known to God. So you must be able to pray. This is not the season where God have mercy. They are prayerless. If you're prayerless, you become toothpick for Satan. You know when you're feeding eating chicken and then you're using the brain. If you're a prayerless Christian, that is what you are to Satan. Oh my fear, jet, oh my jet chicken, yeah, talk where you will finish all the fire and be using the brain. And then, hey, which demon is there? And you're going, I want to break it. That's what Satan will turn you into. Say, be prayerful. So that's one of the places of standing strong in faith. Prayerful, effectual prayer, praying, supplicating, interceding. All of those things, they make us. I want to now up verse 7. And the peace of God, which does what? Surpasses all under. And I tell people, sometimes it's not even about the result. It's about the peace of God ruling over your heart in that situation and circumstance. Will do what? Guard your heart. Because that is always Satan's target. Our heart. Say our heart. So I always tell God, when maybe I'm going through something and I'm believing God, I always tell myself, it's not about this thing. I know God will do it, but I know that Satan wants to attack my heart. He wants me to come into fear. He just wants to depress me. He doesn't want me to come into the things that God wants for me. So you labor what? In the place of prayer. He said, you will guard your heart and minds toward Jesus Christ. Let me quickly round up. So be strong in faith. So you must be able to persevere in prayer. You must be able to bring our strong points. And another thing is, build an atmosphere of faith. Say atmosphere of faith. Now be hanging up with that. An atmosphere of faith. You should avoid faith leakers. You know that when Mary was pregnant, you know, like that drama we acted during whatever, there was a lot of pressure. You know? But when she went to Elizabeth, what happened? Immediately she heard the voice of Elizabeth. What happened? The baby inside her world leaped. Maybe there are some people that you will meet, the faith they are trying to generate, they will just deflate the thing. So when you are having faith for something, maybe you are in this season, I know the way this is, and there are a lot of faith leakers during in this season that will just be generating fear, despair, some bad news, no, that just generate a lot of fear and all that. So when you are, you know, one of the things that we can do to be strong in faith is to have an atmosphere of faith. Say atmosphere of faith. You must create an atmosphere of faith around. I don't know what Jesus was doing when he said, put the law on your wall. Make sure that everything around you is about faith. Avoid discussions that will leave you. You are placed on, say, because it's bad, the gun and jail. Just walk away from those kind of discussions and say, my own reality. That's what some of them was learned to do. Let me go to work and say, oh, gosh, you know how much they are sending rice today? 7,200. Hey, this country, just walk away. And you make your own confession. I live in a different economy. God is able to supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I put my trust in God. I will be abundantly satisfied. As they say, they buy. People know they build house in this season. People know they fly first class. If they are being private, people, maybe they buy private, and they say the thing bad. So you must avoid situations and circumstances that leak faith. News that leak faith. You avoid it and build an atmosphere of faith. Songs of thanksgiving, songs that stir up faith. Now, if I'm believing God for something, I go and it's like when you are sick, you go to a prescription and they go and share drugs for you. I pick songs that I want. songs that God talking about God's ability, God able to do things beyond my imagination. You surround yourself with those kind of music, talking about God's greatness, God's capability, God's putting your eyes on God, and that's which God can do. We need those kind of things, that messages, you know, that stirs up faith in our hearts. I know that people avoid people that will leak faith. Avoid making confession. God is at work. You know, not those kind of careless man things that we say. There's actually a reaping of the fruits of what we say. And so we must actually be very, those are the things Satan will be targeting our thoughts. It's like missile, because he wants us to eat the fruit of the things that we say. So we will bless the nation. We will not say Nigeria. Nigeria is not finished. We say Nigeria is what? Nigeria is blessed. Amen. What did I say? Nigeria is blessed. Those are the things that we will see. So atmosphere of thanksgiving. Confessions. Confessing that which the Lord is saying. And like Pastor said last week, we should not murmur, and we should not complain. We should be what? Full of thanksgiving. You know, I see one trend. Was it last week on Facebook? And I didn't like it. They say, Lord in Nigeria. I know somebody was saying today rice is 72 kg. Lord in Nigeria, on everything we should do what? Give thanks. But this is the will of God. So we thank God. Father, we give you thanks because we know that you are able to meet our needs. So the last thing is to act by faith. So we act contrary to the present reality. Now, since I meet somebody at my office, I said, normally for people that are waiting on a child, maybe you don't have a child, and then one of the natural attributes of people that are waiting on a child is that they are usually sorrowful. A typical person that is looking for a child, they're usually sorrowful, they're not happy, you know, they are weighed down. I said, but if you look at the scriptures, what God says is contrary to that. He says, sing, O barren. If you're not happy, you cannot be singing now. So that is the reality. I said, so when you are waiting on a child, one of the things you must learn to cultivate is to act by faith. Be full of joy. Make sure, there's one thing that we always target is making you sad. Making you depressed. I know you can apply that to any situation. Say, maybe you're in a situation, you have a particular situation which is not being fruitful, the way you mean your business, you know, it can weigh you down. What God wants, you must act contrary. Said, sing, O barren, thou that did not well bear. You know, normally when you are not bearing one place, you'll be sorrowful, you'll be weighed down. Said, no. Said, sing. Say, break forth into singing and do what? Cry aloud. Thou that did not what? Travail with child. You should be crying and be sobbing and not be rejoicing. That is the reality. But so, say, for more, because this is the end product. Say, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. So, based on the word, you begin to rejoice. So, we must act contrary. Say, act contrary. So when people are saying there is a pulling down, we must be saying that, well, there is a lifting up. When people are sorrowful and complaining, we should be rejoicing. So I tell people that are waiting on, I said, when other people give birth, celebrate with them. Go and help them take care of their children. But when other people give birth, they usually say, okay, God, when will my own come? And then another beginning of sorrow. Say, no, I'm going to just give them an example. I say, when people are pregnant, I say, go and cook for them. No, that for sure, people find it difficult with this person. She can make stew for her, make something for her. See, that is contract. But normally, people will be sorrowful. They will be, when will my own come? God, since all this, and I'm faithful. You have to act contrary. You rejoice with them that rejoice. You rejoice with them. You act contrary to what Satan wants you to do. You act contrary. Say, act contrary. So this thing that Satan sends you to make you down, to make you depressed, part of being strong in faith is that you begin to act contrary. I remember then back at home, I remember our papa then, people that are waiting on child, he would tell them, when he prays for them, tell them, he say, you are your husband, go and pray. What is the name that God wants your child to be bearing? You will receive the name, and he tell them that in the house, be calling yourself by that name. Daddy prays. Mommy prays. You tell them the woman, man, go and look for money for your wife. Have you received the word? Do you believe you're going to have a child? Yes. Which one do you want? Is it what I will get? Get money. Go and buy clothes for that baby. Go and work. Do you believe? See, except you don't believe. Say, if you believe, if you know that you're going to have a child, you're not going to prepare for the child. Say, so start preparing for that child. Start calling yourself by that name. That is acting contrary. It's not that you should be fighting with yourself. You are the cause of it. It's because you don't have a boo. It's because you don't have a sperm. Say, act contrary. So the same thing also, you have a business. The business doesn't look as if the business is flourishing. Act by faith. How does successful business owners act? Start making preparations. Do business card. Brand the business and say, I am the CEO of Kinikor, holding. And you see, because what? Faith calls those things that are not as if what they are. When you introduce yourself, you say, so like Mr. Tomisi, I am Mr. O. Tomisi, the chief executive of.
You see that this world that we see, this world, even your own father, your father, God, this world, he said he framed this world by what? By the unseen. So you can frame our world. We can frame our world by the word of God. We can frame. How many of you believe these things? How many of you know that God has demonstrated it over and what and over and over again? So these things are, you will confess those things. You will draw the board of your company. When we begin to sell shares of my company, this is how I want to do it. That is already acting by faith. What did I say? Acting by faith. You draw the plan. You have the whole plan drawn out. That God, okay, this is, you have it, and you present it, and you say, God, this is it. And you begin to act by faith, and don't allow Satan to defeat you and limit you in your mind. Say, we will walk by faith. Say, I will walk by faith. Say, I will walk by faith. So you get home, you look at things that are dead in your life, your businesses, your marriage, things that look dead. He said he calls those things. He said he is the one that gives life to the dead. And you will speak the word of God to those things. You will proclaim God's word over those things. You proclaim God's word over your finances, over your career, over your children. God was trying to tell them before. I used to say something. God said, stop saying these things to your children. He said, if you keep saying this is what you will keep saying. He said, those words that have been spoken concerning this, your children, those are the things you should be speaking. Say, speak those things. Say, prophecies have gone ahead of these children. So those are the words I want you to speak into these children. So don't stay in all these negative things. Say, if you keep saying this thing, if you keep living on the reality you are seeing, that is what you will reap. Say, start waging war with prophecies that have given. Many of us, I also fall short of that many times. But notice this is the way, that's why God is bringing this message to stir up heart. What are the things God has spoken concerning you, concerning your work? And you speak those things. Say, God, this is what you have spoken. I believe it. This is mine. You have given me a new name. Hitherto, I have always been known as a liar, as a this, as a that, as someone that cannot walk it out. But this is the new name that you have given me. This is the name you have given me. You have called me sorted. I am a city that cannot be forsaken. And you begin to proclaim those words. Can we just lift up our hands this morning and just receive grace and receive grace? Let us receive grace. Let us receive grace. Let us receive grace. The Lord will help us to walk in these things.
Can we all pray passionately, connecting with that word? Lord, I receive grace in the name of Jesus. And let's repent in the areas that we have demonstrated unbelief, in areas of our unbelief, areas we have acted lesser than the standard of the word of God. We ask for mercy. All of us should be praying for mercy. Lord, I repent from unbelief. Can we all repent of unbelief? Unbelief is sin. Can we repent of every form of unbelief? Unbelief is anything that is not the reality of God concerning you. Can we repent of every shade of unbelief? Every shade of unbelief. Lies that the enemy have spoken contrary to the word that I believed. I repent of them today. Lord, I repent of every shade of unbelief. I repent of every shade of unbelief. I receive grace to align with your word. I receive grace to align with your word. Barone vele shishimaka. Kalubrene seferugubali ya papana. Lukremen asusubali ya frebeni ya tabaka. Ola joshta prepepeni ya lubreneta. Lord God, strengthen my heart today. By your word, I receive grace to strengthen my heart. Kakrumen frapapa renebaka. Ajojumele brene shesubaka. Lord, I receive strength. Let every weak heart receive strength. Let the weak say, I am strong. 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 And so, Lord, we, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. And so, Lord, I believe I am strong in faith. I believe I'm growing by your word. I believe your promises, Lord. I lay hold on your promise. I confess your word by faith. I frame the world, my world by faith. I frame my world by faith. Kola brene safakoka jajeminiata. I war by faith. I wage warfare against hindrances and obstacles into the promises of God. I lay hold on them by faith. I stand on the word. I believe the word. I confess the word. I speak life to everything that is dead. In the name of Jesus, I live a supernatural life. I walk in the truth of the word of God. That is my reality, Lord. I believe it. I believe it. I receive it. I receive it. I walk in the culture of faith. My words are in alignment with the scripture. I will not hear, for the power of death and life and in the tongue. And so, Lord, I change my confession concerning my life and my situation. I will always say the word. I will always speak the word. I will always declare the word. I refuse to accept anything that is not the word of God concerning my life. From today, I reject what you have rejected. I accept what you have accepted. I refuse to accept every lie of the enemy concerning my life, concerning my home, concerning my finances, concerning my health, concerning the state of my soul. I refuse it. I declare I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I declare I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I declare my needs have been supplied according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I speak by faith. We say, but we have in the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. And Zobalagania. Can we begin to thank the Lord? Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks. Paranebenia. Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for refreshing our hearts by your word. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. And the people said, can we appreciate mommy this morning? Thank you so much, sweetheart. The Lord anointed you, specially. The Lord anointed you. You know, I told her, I said, I want you to start taking Bible study because she's actually a teacher of the word. You know, I know many of us have, you know, experienced our preaching ministry. I knew her in school as a teacher of the word. She's a strong Bible teacher. And I wanted, I just felt that I needed to, you know, recapture that grace. And thank you for teaching us, because you really taught us, you know, I saw the, you know, the garment of a teacher, a prophetic teacher. So we have to stay on this thing for a while. Can we say amen? You know, like I was saying, you know, when I went to Lagos, I was sharing that that's Mommy Ellen's birthday. I was sharing that there was something I noticed about the fathers of faith, of the faith movement, that they gave us a lot of heritage. And, you know, I noticed that they actually stood with the word. And, you know, I think it was one that saying, Mommy Ellen was saying that we cannot live less than that. They stood with the word. They spoke words that they, you know, when I looked at their life, all of them, all the fathers of Hagin, Copeland, you know, Copeland would say that he will never bend. He said he will not bend. You know, he's 86. He's 86, almost 90. Maybe like 87. He said, he has been saying it for years that he will not bend. He will not bend. You know, normally when you reach certain old age, that's a man that is almost 90. I mean, so my own dad is about 77. Okay? He's not bending though, but I'm just saying that he's old. But think about adding 10 years to that age, and he's still strong. They have been saying it for years. They have been saying it for years, that he said, will not bend. That he will not, when I'm old, he said, when I'm 120, I'll still be walking. Amen. They gave us a lot of heritage. We need to discern the faith movement. What you call it? Because actually, there's nothing you can do without faith. We have to recover faith back from the basics. Because for so many of us, you know, you will not be able to flourish in the world of righteousness without this technology established. Because it's more taxing to believe God for nature. When you are trusting God, you know, they have wired you with certain laws. You're not believing the Lord that you'll be full of the fruit of the Spirit. You have to be crazy. So once this thing is not well installed, we'll find it difficult to join. And I think the Lord is just by mercy. You know, like the word the Lord gave me towards the end of last year, says, you know, make sure that there's a faith culture in the house that is strong. The culture of faith. And the culture of faith means that we have to go back to the word. And I find out that, you know, many of us are still weak with the word. We don't know scripture enough to generate faith. For faith cometh by what? And hearing by the word. It's not enough to be excited by mommy's teaching. You have to listen and listen and listen and start building from today. If you don't have word in your heart, you will not have faith. So faith does not just come. You know, we can create an atmosphere of the Spirit right now that can energize you. But you have to go into consistent believing of the word. So the truth is that truly, it is what you feed yourself with that eventually comes out as your reaction to circumstances. You know, at times you may even at times respond maybe in fear once in a while. But you always have to gather yourself back to really what you believe in your heart. I've noticed that. At times I might say, I have one or two slips here and there. I say something that I don't really believe in. But deep down my heart, I can quickly just make adjustment. A work has been done. So you quickly make, no, I don't believe this. I redress what I said. This is what I believe in. Now, that is a function of investment. Are you investing in your spirit? Are you investing? You understand? It has to be a conscious thing. We have to recover that thing back. That culture of believing the word, feeding on the word, confessing the word. Confession of the word is affirmative of what God has written. And we have, like I've said before, you know, we are not higher than that. It's affirming the word. So confessing the word is a progressive reality in the environment of the church. We have to always affirm this is what God has said. Now, you will not be able to affirm what God has said if you have not taken time to wait on what God has said. And if you are not, if you don't spend time with the word, you will not have faith. So one of the things I wrote down when my wife was ministering, he said, we have to deal with faith hindrances this year. Things that kill faith. You know, and you have to know them personally for you. What are those things that kill faith in your life? You have to go after them. You know, I dealt with, and we're dealing with the issue of laziness. Laziness is a faith killer. When you are lazy, you will not be able to, you can't have faith. You can't have faith and be lazy at the same time. Lazy people cannot have faith. Faith people cannot be lazy. Because James said that if you have faith, show me your works. Meaning a man of faith has actions. It takes actions. You are believing God for a business. You understand? You have trusted God. You have believed the Lord for it. Then you have to take steps of faith. Those steps of faith is that you are now willing to now go and execute your idea. You do all the researches that is necessary. Some of us don't know how to write business plan. I was still saying it. You understand? You don't know how to. It doesn't take anything to learn it. Okay? You have an investor that is willing to invest in your business. Have you done sufficient research so that when you present, to your investor, the person is convinced. I keep using this example. The first time, you know, I had a season of work with the first son of Bova. Some of you know the story. The day the opportunity came was not the day I prepared. I just, you know, we learn from a lot of things. I was just coming from service with my friend. My friend seems to is his cousin. So he just told me, said, my uncle, you know, my cousin, who is the, you know, I've forgotten his role, but, you know, he's the son of Bova, the first son. He said he wants to establish a training institute in Ibadan. And he was asking me, do I know anybody that has ideas? He said, I know. He said, my friend that I used to see, that we do business together. I said, that is his life. He said, okay, let him come and see me tonight. Okay? So, and he told me on Sunday afternoon. Was it Sunday? Okay, told me on Saturday. Told me on Saturday. So I now went the other night to sleep over. And what I was supposed to present to him was, you know, somebody can have an idea. Then you now have something I call a processed whatever. So he shared the idea and I opened my laptop and I presented to him all I've been writing. He said, this is everything I want. He said, when can we start business? So I now look at it that maybe if I was not ready that day, because that was an opportunity. That was a window of opportunity that opened for me at a particular time that caused me to transit from Lagos to Ibadan. Of course, it was more than that business. It was about this ministry. But it was a door. But, you know, if a door of opportunity is open and you are not ready. Imagine, you know, that's somebody that has money. Imagine I came before you and I'm talking katakata. You understand? He's talking. There was a clear presentation of what it means to have a training institute. Yes, everything was well documented, written, clear, research done. So I know many of you say you have ideas, but you have done nothing. Yeah. If you have faith, where's your works? Where's your works? So somebody that is lazy cannot have faith. You know, I'm going after laziness again. A lazy man has not roasted anything. You have not done anything. What you just have is, you can't take it to a... Ask yourself, whatever you have now, I'm talking to those in business. Can an investor want to invest in? Investors don't invest in ideas that are not processed. Even you, can you invest in yourself? So we have to look at all those areas in our lives, okay? Faith people are diligent people. What did I say? They are people of diligence. They are people. Faith people are people of excellence. They are people of excellence. So we have to look at what I call faith hindrances and go after them one by one. There's a book that, small book, I'm not sure, I think it's a message that Hagin taught, Right Believing. Yes. Right Believing, you know, Right Thinking, Right Believing. You know, and it begins there. So Hagin also taught of Right Thinking. So he also starts from there. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The right thinking is what thinking. Yes, sir. What did I say right thinking is? So a thinking that is not inconsistent with the word, it cannot be right. And that is where you can begin from. You can judge it. This is what I'm thinking. Is it consistent with the word of God? This is what I'm thinking about my life. Is it consistent with the word of God? Or these actions that I am living every day, is it consistent with the word of God? Nobody living like this can make anything out of life. Right action. Because faith is right thinking and right actions. Right attitudes. Okay? So those are the way you judge, you know, if you are, you know, making progress. And finally, we have to also look at into what I call faith boosters. Things that boost faith. Of course, the word of God stands out. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. So, you know, surround yourself with the word. What did I say you should do? Every morning, you know, every evening, every opportunity you have, you know, to get the word in. Get the word in. Okay? Build right relationships that encourage you to believe the word. Okay? Don't be too sentimental. If you know that somebody's a relationship is not helping you to grow in faith, you need to maybe withdraw a little bit. And look for people that can help you grow in faith. People that when you come around them, they encourage you. They inspire you. They redirect your attitude to the world. They even rebuke and correct you based on the standard of the world. Because some of us, we run away from relationships that are supposed to prune us. We prefer relationships that pamper us. So get around those people that can inspire you, that can bring out the best out of you, that can encourage you to believe the word and stand with the word. Can we say amen? Amen. So this year, we are believing the Lord to grow a culture of faith. Can we all say amen? Amen. Can we all shout culture of faith? Let's say it again. Finally, you know, I perceive that there is a door opening for us in this season. You see, all those things that are happening economically, you know, like I was telling my wife yesterday, it's not only Nigeria. Nigeria has always had their issues before. Unresolved issues in Nigeria is now being amplified by global economic issue. There's inflation in America, cousin. There's inflation in America. There's inflation in the UK. It had begun before now. Okay? There's inflation everywhere. So there are economic issues. Famine is a general thing. It's not just in Nigeria. Because some of us, the way we are thinking, is as if living in Nigeria is a solution to your problem. You are joking. You are joking. You will find out that, thank you. It's not about living living a physical territory does not solve your problem. You will leave a physical territory, you get to another point, new problems will begin. Problems that was not in where you left. You left some problems. Other ones are waiting for you. So what you need is faith. Faith is universal. Amen. What you need is faith. Huh? So even if you don't have faith and you transit to another territory, you will still need to build faith. You think you don't need to live by faith in America, or you don't need to live by faith in the UK. Okay? So what I'm saying is that we have a global challenge on the economic systems of man. It is everywhere on the planet. Okay? And the only way we can live in times of famine is to what? By faith, operate heaven's economy. Amen. I'm not hearing a loud amen.
Amen.
So I perceive in my spirit that God is opening a door of opportunity for us. Not just in the spirit alone. There is a door of entrance in the spirit. This is the time to press into God.
Amen.
When things are economically shutting down, when there's a lot of distractions everywhere, you know, wars and rumors of war, economic downturns. This is the right time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A door is standing before us. We should see that door. You see that? It's just like that, you know, when Elijah wanted to be taken away, there were a lot of distractions that came. You understand? Someone says that Elijah was taken by a wild wind. That chariots of fire was like a distraction. You know, I've heard all kind of teaching in that area. But you know, there was a lot of distraction in that. A lot of things that if you had focused on them, Elijah would not have seen Elijah. He says, if you see me. He said, this is a difficult thing, but if you see me, this is a season we must see God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, transit. Now, secondly, also, there are also doors for natural economy. There are also doors. You need to have sight for you to see them. There are doors that God is going to open. After this time, God will raise some new set of people up again. God is going to judge some. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6 or 7. Uh-huh. God is going to bring some set of people down. Other ones will rise. Amen. I think it's verse 7. He bringeth down. The Lord maketh poor. So this is what is going to happen. When there is an economic or famine situation, God is making some people poor while he's making some rich. God is going to pull some people down. Look at that. He bringeth low and what? He lifted up. So for so many, God wants to lift them up. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So I want you to see the present economic downturn as a time of your own lifting up. Oh, are you receiving the word? I say it's your time of what? My own lifting up. So this is the time to look at. So God will be speaking to you. Some of you, God will be giving you ideas. God will be instructing you, do this, do that. Like God spoke to Elijah. Directions will come. Leading will come. When you hit to those things, the end of it is that there will be a lifting up. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.